top headlines.
Chris Ballard went ahead and addressed the media in Indianapolis today. The Colts GM, well, he talked about the timing, I guess, of Josh McDaniels. Let him explain it if he can.
It's time. How long did it take the New York Yankees to hire their head coach?
Okay.
I mean, they feel very confident. I know every sport's different, but we put a time frame on things that I don't think really matters at the end of the day. Now, if we were sitting middle of March, I'd have a different perspective on it. But let's don't overcomplicate this. It's football.
Okay. So Josh McDaniels is not going to Indianapolis. Presumably, he'll stay on as offensive coordinator for the Patriots. Matt Patricia is leaving. He will be introduced today in Detroit as the new Lions head coach. Celtics took a loss last night in Toronto, 111-91. They have the night off before they pay a visit to Washington. Bruins with back-to-back games on the road after their 3-2 win over the Red Wings last night. Tonight they visit the Rangers. Judd Surratt, Bob Beers have the call. 8 o'clock face-off right here on the New England Honda Dealers, 98.5, the Sports Hub Bruins Radio Network. Headlines are brought to you by Wendy's. Wendy's new 4 for $4 has more choices than ever. I'm Hardy on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
98.5, the Sports Hub gets you up.
Hello, Mr. Danny.
Good morning.
I'm not telling you anything you didn't know.
Gets you home.
They don't have a dominating personality.
Not the team thinks he's going to be special.
Toucher and Rich.
Felger and Mad.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand, before we get to Mike Reese.
Oh, Zo's awake here? Again. He's awake again.
Because normally he disappears in the fourth hour.
Last 5 minutes or so are usually the worst.
He get up and he walked!
Ah, Zo just walked out of the studio.
Legit walked out.
He did. He's gone.
I've never been a party to something like that before.
I don't know when he'll be back.
He started bringing it back. He started bringing it back from the headline. He was all engaged, and we ridiculed him to the point where he left the show.
Let's get to this. Mike Reese was just on ESPN reporting from inside the building in Foxborough, inside Gillette Stadium, with a recap of the last 24 hours or so. And he has some information on conversations that took place between the team and Josh McDaniels. Here's Mike Reese.
As is often the case in like an exit interview type situation, the Patriots take one last stab at it at the highest level with owner Robert Kraft, Bill Belichick, Jonathan Kraft. And they say, would you consider staying if we did this? And the big question is, what is this? And there were two things, I'm told, that really made Josh McDaniel shift here. Number one, Bill Belichick said to him, I want you to be by my side. I'm going to open my world to you, show you how I view roster building, how I look at financials and the salary cap. And to McDaniels, who's 41 years old, the chance to be with Belichick, arguably the greatest coach of all time, 65 years old, to have that opportunity was viewed as to be extremely valuable to him. And the second part of this that appealed to Josh McDaniels was when the Patriots sort of sold him on the idea that his kids, who are 12, 10, 6, and 3, would have stability because they were willing to make a long-term commitment to him, that in this coaching profession, it's hard to have your kids in the same school system for their entire youth, but they were willing to make a commitment to him from a time frame perspective that was possible. So Josh McDaniels takes that information that he didn't have, Max, up to this point. I mean, this is Tuesday, and he didn't have that information. Now he did, and he had to make that decision. Do I stay with the Patriots, or do I go with the Colts?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Josh McDaniels has like a 3- or 4-year-old. What do you get, like a 15-year deal here? Get him through high school?
I mean, six is the youngest.
What are we doing here?
No, he just said three.
I'll make it clear what I know here. 2018 is the last year of his existing deal. I would be surprised if this is not a 4 or a 5 year extension, which is incredibly rare for assistant coaches. Most assistant coaches work on 2 years.
All right, so let's assume the best for him. It's 6 years.
This is like
that ain't 10.
I got the one. This is similar to the deal. At least it seems like in time frame wise, it's similar to the deal that Jason Garrett got in Dallas.
Thank you.
When they convinced him to stay, when he was getting head coaching offers under Wade Phillips, he of course winds up succeeding Wade Phillips in Dallas. That would be the one that I would compare it to. Where it's just it's just an outlier of an assistant coach contract.
How about the other All part right. of that? Bill Belichick is going to show him his world.
See, I think, but I think
he already did that.
Bill did
that
for him. Gave him the 3-inch guidebook to coaching. But how to reapply yourself again. I think there's a bigger point here from the family perspective.
Yeah.
This isn't really about Josh's seat. The key thing here, it was Robert, Jonathan, and Bill convincing him. This wasn't just an ownership thing away from Bill trying to lock up a coach. And that can happen. But Bill picks the coaches. But Bill has a great relationship with Josh. Bill, from the family perspective, hey, Josh, I've been doing this a long, long time.
Yep.
I've moved to different cities. I'm so maniacal in my approach. You see it. I don't get to see my kids. There are certain things that have happened in my family environment over the years.
Yeah.
To where maybe I wish I did something different, or maybe I wish I didn't take this job or pop there or go to Cleveland.
Put added Baltimore. Stress on the family.
We're offering you something that you like being here. We love having you. You're going to be the next guy. But more importantly, I got my son. My two sons are
that's
on my
huge.
Staff. Right
I think
now.
That's huge.
You've been here back in the day when you saw little Brian with a pencil behind his ear next to me on a sideline. One day you may have that here. You can't guarantee that elsewhere. We can guarantee that here for you.
I think that's big.
The family thing may be bigger as we sit here and chuckle at it and laugh at it because of Bill's ability to relate to him where he may have done some things right and some things wrong with his own family.
I think there are two things at play as far as Bill's motivation goes. And one is exactly what you're talking about. And I think this goes deeper than just what you're saying, Zoe. I think it also... Part of the motivation for Bill here could be knowing that Steven and Brian will be taken care of after he's gone. Mm. And knowing who may be the coach here after...
See, another layer.
Yeah, like after
like
he's gone.
Onion.
After he's gone, like I'm sure part of it is he wants to make sure that Steven and Brian are taken care of. If Josh is here, he knows they'll be taken care of. The second piece of it, look, I think part of it is they came to the realization that it was going to be really hard to replace Josh. You know why? Because it's very hard to coach Tom. And so who was going to handle Tom if Josh left? Now, Chad O'Shea was, I think we've all talked about him being the next in line. But Tom is a very difficult player to coach. And it's not because he's hard. It's not because he's a jerk or anything like that before anybody gets carried away with that. It's because his bank of knowledge is at such a level. How do you give him something new? How can you walk in the meeting room and give him something that he can use? You know, I still remember Billy O'Brien saying to me the first thing he got from Tom when Josh left for Denver and he became the OC, he got a text from Tom and said, I want to be coached. Tom wants coaching Well, at this point, at 40 years old, who the hell can give Tom Brady something new? Who can give Tom Brady something beyond what he already knows? It's hard. I mean, it's a really hard thing to find somebody who can coach Brady. And I mean, can you trust that they have somebody on staff? And I think Chad O'Shea is going to be a good offensive coordinator someday for someone. But can you trust that there's somebody on that staff, if Josh left, who'd be capable of coaching Tom?
Let's go to Jim, who's in Grafton on this. Hi, Jim.
Yeah, hi. How are you?
Hi.
I'm calling because I don't know if anyone could have ever imagined that maybe the beginning of the end might look like this. I almost feel like I'm watching a strange version of Apocalypse Now where Josh is Captain Willard and Belichick is Don Colonel Kurtz in light of what happened in the Super Bowl.
Yes, okay. And all crawling right. around along the edge of a
I don't know what these references.
That might be our second best call of the day.
These references.
Oh, when I chimed on the mic earlier and you
I'm
guys
out of
were
my
so
depth
rude
those
to
references.
Me. You guys were so rude to me.
Well, you're giving the time. Of
I guess judgment. Carlton's calling the other place, and he's not going to call us anymore. You know what? Good. Have fun.
Awesome.
He and Fourier can be best friends. They go well together.
Now, Tony Dungy went after Josh. Tony Dungy, who's become a close confidant of Josh McDaniels. The MMQB tweeted out a story.
All right.
Says, why did Josh McDaniels walk away from the Colts for starters? He felt more comfortable with the Patriots than he did with Indianapolis. Tony Dungy's response. Haven't read the article, but I can tell you there is no excuse big enough to justify this. It's one thing to go back on your word to an organization, but having assistant coaches leave jobs to go with you, then leave them out to dry is indefensible. Comfort?
maybe the Lord told Josh to stay. Because that was Tony's big thing all week about Nick Foles and everything.
Here's more. This is common decency. Here's more. This is common decency and integrity. You don't do that to the families of your peers.
The having the other coaches sign on and you know, have the conversations with their families and be ready to move and have that's a bad look.
That's a really bad look.
That's a problem.
Look, I understand.
No, Josh McDaniels' family is more important than their families. Don't you know that?
Well, to Josh McDaniels, it is, but it's not a great look.
Well, if you're DeGuglielmo or Fair or Eberflus,
you want me to
in
Google
Indianapolis
Elmo?
Right now? Now they're going to take care of you. Well, Szaplinski's here, so yeah. Szaplinski and Judge will be fine. But the three guys who are in Indianapolis, I mean, look at it from their perspective. So Chris Ballard said he's going to take care of them, and I believe that. That's what I heard that last night as well. They're going to take care of those guys. But now those guys are facing the prospect of going to work for a head coach they don't know, who could get rid of them in a year. This could really mess up the futures for those guys,
sure.
Right? Like, this is like a career-altering thing for those guys. So what do? Do you stick that out, or do you walk away knowing that most of the doors that might have been open a month ago to you are now closed? It's a tough position to be in.
Yeah.
Not to mention, what if you're one of the guys who thought he was coming, who's now not coming, but didn't have a deal in place? There are different layers to this that are... I mean, I've talked to a couple of the coaches who are going to be there that are not pleased. Not pleased.
I don't think nobody likes what McDaniels did, and all the talk about why he did it is really a means to just kind of explain it, but all these things that we're talking about, he should have made his mind up on weeks ago.
Yeah, I mean,
problems don't exist.
I don't feel that bad for the Colts because, you know, NFL teams do this all the time. Like
the rivalry's back on.
NFL teams treat players like this all the freaking time. Okay. So, fine. I think where you should have some sympathy is for the coaches who are kind of caught up and caught in between on this.
Bert Breer is with us in our Town Fair Tires studios right now. The CBS Sports Minute has John Feinstein on the NFL stance on helmet-to-helmet catches. That's what it says here. Helmet-to-helmet catches.
Hey, sports fans. Time for the weird.
Zolak.
The wild. Bertrand. And the unexpected.
How's his butt look? Tight. It looks good.
Good.
Zolak and Bertrand. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
Bill Belichick said to him, I want you to be by my side. I'm going to open my world to you, show you how I view roster building, how I look at financials and the salary cap. And to McDaniels, who's 41 years old, the chance to be with Belichick, arguably the greatest coach of all time, 65 years old, to have that opportunity was viewed as to be extremely valuable to him.
Shining, shimmering, splendid, tell me, princess.
Belichick and McDaniels on a magic carpet ride together. Bill's going to show him his world.
I can open your eyes.
Who sings this? Is this Peebo Bryson, one of the favorites of Billy Lanny? Billy Lanny loves Peebo Bryson.
Is it Peebo?
Is this Peebo? Yep. Yes. Lanny loves Peebo Bryson.
Guy could sing.
One of his favorites.
It's a good song.
From a Disney movie?
It's Aladdin, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's when Disney movies went bad.
No, Aladdin was a good one. They had a pretty good run there for a while.
Then they got like all these other extra princesses like you never knew even existed.
Well,
that's the last of the Disney movies that like look like an old movie, but
that are actually animated.
This was like right around the Little Mermaid. You know, it was Little Mermaid, then this. I think The Lion King was around this time.
What's up?
And all the Disney movies went to crap after that, before Pixar.
Beauty and the Beast is a good one.
Beauty and the Beast was 91. Aladdin was 92.
That's with Belle.
Beetle,
Little Mermaid was 89. That's a good little run there for Disney.
I had to learn all the...
It feels like every one of those big box Disney movies came out like in a 10-year period.
Yeah, what about Lion King, though? Lion King was after Aladdin. So didn't Lion King look like Aladdin?
That stands up, I think, a little bit more, though.
What?
Looks a little nicer than Aladdin.
Does it?
I think so.
Does it?
Does Aladdin look awful now?
Yeah,
Lion King still looks good.
Lion King looks great.
Yeah,
Aladdin looks like a cartoon.
Like so a bad cartoon. So you're saying Lion King looks like digital, basically.
I think the graphics are much... It's a cartoon also, but I don't know. It pops more.
You're right. All the big Disney movies came out within like a 10-year run.
Yeah.
Right. And then they stopped making them for some reason.
Then they start creating like fake princesses you never heard of.
No, I mean, they did not stop making them. They still make these movies.
They're just not as popular.
Like Mulan.
Because Frozen was a Disney movie.
Yeah. Frozen was awesome.
It just came out a couple of years ago.
I would think you print money with those because not only are they popular when they come out, but the shelf life of those movies, because people will keep getting them for their kids.
Moana was a Disney movie. That thing is everywhere.
But it doesn't seem to have the same staying power. Like, Frozen was the biggest thing. Like, it spoke to kids on a molecular level. I mean, it's something about those songs, and it was...
You need one song for the movie. Disney has to do is create that one freaking hit, and they got you sucked in.
It was gone in like a year. We sit here and celebrate Beauty and the Beast to this day. Look at us talking about The Little Mermaid to this day. They're going to be talking about Frozen 10 years from now.
Is Cars Disney? Just as much staying.
Yes, Cars is Disney. Yeah.
Okay, my kid is obsessed with Cars right now.
Cars, huh?
Yeah, loves McQueen. That's what he calls. He doesn't call it Cars. Ka-chow. He calls it McQueen.
Oh,
he calls
McQueen.
It McQueen.
Ka-chow.
All the Toy Stories were Disney.
Toy
Stories,
bad.
Yeah, they're taking the Hollywood Studios there and creating like Toy Story Land over there.
That's awesome.
Yeah, is it?
You gonna go?
Buzz Lightyear ride's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Getting area kids.
You like Buzz Lightyear, don't you?
Sir, I love him. Reminds me of Gronk.
He could play him. He could play Buzz Lightyear.
He could.
In the live action.
Go to Disney. Yeah. There you go.
Good. Big money in that. Big contract. Big future for Rob Gronk.
Worth leaving football for. Absolutely.
Smart. Right on it.
617-779-0985. Zach in New Hampshire with a football point from Sunday's game. Zach.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hi.
You know, I watched the Cooks hit, and, you know, with the NFL promoting safety above all else, I mean, that hit's got to get flagged. And
they should flag Brandon Cooks for his stupidity on that play. You're right.
Well, no, I'm not talking about Brandon Cooks. But if, you know, to me, the rule, if you're going to put somebody in concussion protocol with a head-to-head hit like that, you know, if they want to get rid of these, then make the guy who put the hit on the guy go in concussion protocol as well. And if the guy who got hit doesn't get to go back in, you don't get to go back in either.
I was crying for the helmet-to-helmet. Then I went back and watched the game the other night, watched it again yesterday. He's a runner.
It was a clean hit.
He's a runner. It's a clean hit, boys.
Clean hit.
That is legal. You are a runner. You're not defenseless, turning your head, outstretched, looking back at the quarterback so you can't brace for contact. Ball's underarm, your turn, you're like a chicken with your head cut off.
Bam-o! That was on Cooks, too, for turning back to the field. Like, that's like something you're taught not to do.
Foolish. Foolish play on his part.
Do you understand what I said? And I tried to describe it yesterday.
How long was he in that game? At what point did he get that hit?
That's first quarter.
I know. How many minutes in?
I don't even know. Six?
Yeah.
I mean, he
made two stupid decisions in a short time in Super Bowl 52. Yeah,
jet sweep.
One was the leap. The
other I called was that one.
Whatever you want to call it.
Do you understand spacing? When I talk spacing, like Danny Amendola and Julian Edelman, when they catch the ball, they know where the sticks are. But even watch Hogan, too. Hogan's good at this. They catch the ball in space with room to run. Cooks gets it, and he's got all this room to run. It's almost like they take this big wind-up thing on his back. You know, like you get your kids one of those crazy toy cars, those tin cars, or those tin robots, put on the floor. And it's crazy. It's like all over the place.
No control.
He doesn't have an awareness to catch it. I'm going to get hit, get down. You know what I mean? Turn it up 4 yards, slide forward, get it.
You never see guys running around like that. Go ahead.
Piece of news to give you. ESPN just reported. Dan Graziano with this tweet. Source says agent Bob Lamont, who represents Josh McDaniels, as well as Colts GM Chris Ballard and many other coaches and execs, is terminating his relationship with Josh McDaniels. Aww. That is no surprise. We said that earlier in the show. he had pissed off the agent, and the agent's going to be letting him know, I don't want to rep you anymore.
Yeah.
Nope. I don't want to be your
guy. If you represent both those guys, it's sort of a bad look that this happened in general because you're kind of you're the conduit.
What about he'll have no Cornrich soon enough.
Okay, what about the next coach that he goes to represent with another team after he's told the Colts through all of this, yes, Josh is coming, and of course, let's work on the deal, and we'll work. And now they can look at him and say, well, do we know that his guy's actually coming? He's had guys bail before.
Yeah.
You know, and he's done the lying for other head coaches when they didn't come. They didn't get the deal done, and it was Josh McDaniels. I think he doesn't want to be associated with this. He doesn't want to be associated with what a move that is going to be looked down upon by a lot of people in the league that this agent is working with.
When he's got other coaches that were going to be on McDaniel's staff that obviously feel burned now, that are probably putting some pressure on him as well. So, yeah, you can totally understand why this happened.
It's good for Josh. He basically negotiated his own deal anyways. He doesn't have to pay an agent now. Just get a lawyer, write up the contract, and you're good to go. Make a little extra.
That is nice, true. Jim.
It is true.
As much as Josh looks bad, this is great for the Patriots.
Of course it is. Well, I don't think anyone's... I mean, it depends on your opinion of Josh McDaniels. I have a high opinion of him as a coordinator, and I think he can learn from his first horrible experience as a head coach in Denver. I mean, that thing was a train wreck.
Screw that. He can develop the next quarterback. That's what I keep going back to. That's what they need to do to keep winning. He's the guy that can develop the next quarterback. We've already seen it once. That's his biggest role with the team going forward, I think.
So if you had to give credit out, you're giving more of that credit to McDaniels than Belichick.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. 50-50.
Those weekly meetings, you think
I think the weekly meetings are important.
Well, here's what I think you look at, right? I think you look at coming out of Sunday, you looked at the infrastructure of the team going forward, and you looked at Robert Kraft, 76, Bill Belichick, about to turn 66, Tom Brady, about to turn 41. So it looks like, again, like we talked about earlier, that's year to year. Okay, now I think we can legitimately look at this and say, okay, Jonathan Kraft, 53, Nick Caserio, 42, Josh McDaniels, 41.
The next wave?
Yeah. I think that's the way you have to look at it now, right?
I think so. I think there's a lot of transitions that are going on within that organization. I promise we'll get to all your calls coming up after Headlines with Hardy.
Sports Hub Headlines.
They had a press conference in Indianapolis today, not to introduce Josh McDaniels as their new head coach, but to, explain why he wasn't there and what else there. Chris Ballard, GM of the Colts.
Yeah, it was pretty short conversation. Look, I wish Josh the best going forward. Look, let me say this. Josh McDaniels is a good football coach, and I wish him the best going forward.
Going forward, he will presumably still be the offensive coordinator for the New England Patriots. The defensive coordinator, Matt Patricia, he's gone. He's in Detroit. He will be announced today officially as the new head coach of the Lions.
Your peeps in Detroit all fired up?
Not as much as they were before Sunday. Also, the Bruins beat the Red Wings last night 3-2. You want me to be honest? That's what they're saying.
I said the same too.
Not as excited as they were. Saturday they were real excited. Monday not as excited. I don't know what happened. Bruins beat the Red Wings 3-2 last night in Detroit. Tonight they visit the Rangers. Judd Surratt, Bob Beers, Dunkin' Donuts, Bruins pregame show 7:30 right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Celtics lost to the Raptors 111-91. They have the night off before playing Washington tomorrow night. Headlines are brought to you by the Boston area campus of Connecticut School of Broadcasting. Get in the game. Visit gocsb.com for more details. I'm Hardy on Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Are they aliens?
Zolak and Bertrand.
Fantastic chemistry.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Peebo. A little more Peebo, a little more meeting behind it, because Josh McDaniels is once again in the arms of Robert Kraft, Jonathan Kraft, Bill Belichick, and they're going to love him a little more. They're going to show him their world.
Billy Lanny's back there throwing up the rock sign. He's giving the devil horse.
Who's that guy?
Jam into this.
Who's the other guy that was in, did the tournament at Foxwoods? Really good singer. I can't remember his name. Oh, was great guessing.
He was on the. He was on the Sports Hub Golf Club. Jeffrey Osborne.
Jeffrey Osborne. I look at these two as of the same. Good just down the middle. Fairways and greens.
Fairways and greens.
Once in a lifetime.
Didn't have the same ups and downs that Luther did.
Right.
Wait and otherwise.
DeBarge was good. I used to like El DeBarge.
What about Teddy P?
Teddy P. A little too much of this. Little. He strained too much. Luther was good.
Fairways.
Luther and Vandross, man. He was good.
No three putts.
Good song.
Very good, then. We've got some calls here. Burt Breer is with us in our Town Fair Tire Studios. Today's takeaway is coming up at 1:50. Let's try and get through as much of this as we can. And we'll go to Eddie in Indianapolis. Eddie's a Patriots fan. Go ahead, bud.
Hi, Ed.
Hey guys. I saw you guys at the Buffalo Wild Wings. I'm livid. Listen to me. Just let me vent here. I feel like Belichick needs to go. He's lost his everlasting mind. He built so much equity that I didn't know that I could ever want him gone. But after a second-round pick for Jimmy Garoppolo and then sitting Butler out of spite after the team was getting torched is indefensible. I was at the game, so I found out later, but I don't care how many Super Bowls he's won with Brady. He thinks he's bigger than the team. If for him to get the ass in the biggest game of the season for contractual reasons and not put them in the best position to win, Butler's not even on the team next year. Like, what message is he trying to send? How does Brady feel about that? Best Super Bowl performance ever, wasted. How's he going to spit on a chance at a Lombardi trophy like that and pretend like he can get there anytime he wants? These opportunities don't last forever, and he better get Brady back on the reservation or he's screwed.
I still think something happened. I really do.
Yeah, here's something I thought was really interesting. And you guys may have played the audio last spring when Bill talked at the Ohio State coaching clinic, and Urban Meyer introduced him. And Urban said, and as he was introducing him, you know, you always say something nice about the guy who's going to be the speaker. And he talked about a life lesson that Bill gave him. And he said that Bill told him, at my age, I don't want to coach guys that I don't like anymore. So I'm just not going to do it. And when I heard Urban say that, and say that was a big lesson that he got from Bill, and this is it, Bill at that point I just turned 65 years old. I immediately thought back to Jamie Collins and Chandler Jones as maybe those were guys that he didn't want to coach anymore. Spikes, yeah. Like where he's less tolerant about guys who are kind of operating on the fringes of the program than he used to be. And then you think about all the water under the bridge with Malcolm Butler, right? The contract problem in the spring, the potential trade with the Saints falling through, the fact that Malcolm Butler had a deal in place with the Saints that felt that made it so he knew exactly how much money the Patriots were costing him by not trading him to New Orleans.
I wonder if the Cook still was a makeup.
The up and down training camp, right? The week two benching. There's all this water under the bridge. And then Malcolm gets to New Orleans, or Malcolm gets to Minneapolis, and he hears his role isn't going to be quite the same. And maybe that didn't go over well with him. And maybe he addressed it with somebody on the coaching staff. And maybe Bill just decided, I don't want to deal with this. I don't want to deal with this drama.
I still don't think it's strictly football.
I don't think it's strictly football either. I think it's everything.
Technically, it falls under that umbrella that he's the football coach. I'm making that decision. I think it's in the best interest of the team. Meaning it gives him an escape or an out for it. But you just don't do this to a player unless something really drastic happened. And I know Malcolm refuted going to the concert, showing up late, blah, blah, blah. And Brady and all, everybody liked it. You know, exclamation point.
Six couple captains,
that helps endorse it. There had to be some sort of an
couple
incident.
Captains, half the roster is endorsing what he said.
I don't know
that
what
nothing
happened
from a disciplinary standpoint. So half the team likes his status and likes his comment on this and his statement that he made. Bill Belichick is adamant that it was a football decision.
Part of that is the
player says it's football. The players agree with the player that's in question here.
But do the players have a right to see hypocrisy in that, in what Bill did? Because he's always preaching to them, we'll do whatever's what's best for the football team. All of our focus is on what's going to put us in a position to win. That's all they hear from him, right? Everything that they do in that building is supposed to be along those lines. And then they're getting lit the F up by Nick freaking Foles Sunday, right?
Backup.
They're getting lit up, all right? First defensive back off the bench, Daron Harmon.
He looked great.
Second defensive back off the bench, Jordan Richards. Third defensive back off the bench, Johnson Batamosi.
I love those angles Richards took up to play the flat.
He's really good. He's a really good player.
If you're one of those players.
And keep him around because he's good. He's a smart guy.
Good kid.
If you're one of those players.
Good kid. Good dude.
If you're one of those players and you've heard for years. You've heard for years. We're only going to do what's best for the football team.
I'm going to tell you, if Jordan Richards.
Do you not see hypocrisy in that?
If Jordan Richards is the Patriot way, then I don't like the Patriot way anymore. Okay, I'm out. I'm out. If that's the Patriot way, then no thanks. You keep that. You have that to yourself.
Didn't Johnson Batamosi have a little run-in with the press on Monday, too?
Yeah, he said, I don't know you guys bleep.
Yeah. He said he didn't have anything for him.
I don't have anything for you. I don't owe you guys bleep.
I don't think he had much for the Patriots on Sunday either. You know who might have had something? Would have been Malcolm Butler. But Malcolm Butler might have had a
little something for him. That kind of statement to the press was very Patriot way-like. I mean, for that, you got to give him credit. I don't owe you guys anything. I am not saying anything.
Robert in California. Robert.
Hey, morning, guys. Hey, okay, a couple things real quick.
Maybe where you are.
On Gronkowski first, I have to always go back to what Chris Rock says. And he says a man is only as faithful as his options. Yeah. So he's got options. So I think that faithfulness goes out the door. Second thing is I had to put some fresh tinfoil on my head for this one. Ultimate conspiracy. What if I'm sure the Patriots have been investigating where the leaks came from for this Wickersham story. What if it came out during Super Bowl week, their investigation finished up, and it was Butler's group that was leaking all the information?
Wait. You think the league is investigating this?
No. The crafts.
The team.
Are.
The team is.
Yeah, the team, yeah.
Yeah, I doubt it. I doubt it.
I bet he's a big fan of the movie Signs, where they're sitting there with the tinfoil on their head.
I doubt it.
Remember that Hardy swing, right?
Oh, yeah, the two kids.
I like it, though. It's, you know what? It's something new. Butler was Merrill. The source Merrill. For Wickersham. Butler is Wickersham's guy.
Ah,
they found out he was Wickersham's guy. They were mad, and they benched him.
Yes.
Aha!
Have we talked at all about the Patriots having the wrong quarterback for the scout team this week? Has that been brought up? I can't remember.
It has. We covered that.
All right.
We did cover
Garoppolo
that.
Garoppolo would have been a better version of Nick Foles.
Paul, I think, in New Hampshire. Paul.
Hey, guys. How are you?
What's up?
Thanks for taking my call, loyal listener. One football question on the Super Bowl and then one on the radio. On the fourth and goal trick play that Foles made.
Yeah.
Do you think anyone on the field even saw it or anticipated? Because it looked like they didn't even try to react to it.
Well, first of all, it's an illegal formation. It did not get called.
It wasn't a wildcat regular.
No, it was wild. It was direct snap.
Guy up on the line of
direct
screen.
Snap to the tailback. But there wasn't a man that was up on the right side.
But doesn't that guy on the right side generally look over at the linesman and say, hey, am I okay?
Not if they're running something fast. If it's like they break the huddle and get out there and are trying to get set to snap it, no.
Does it make a difference on the play?
Yeah, because it's an illegal play.
All right. But does it make a difference? Does it give them a competitive advantage
to have
that guy a foot further back off the line of scrimmage?
I'm not.
All right, let's get to the general
question. That's not why they lost.
Did they see it coming? I don't think they had a clue.
They were going to get smoked on that play, okay? Whether it was on the line or off it.
They didn't have a clue.
Go ahead.
Anyone on the sidelines saw it and was yelling?
No, you can't from that angle.
If they did, it was too late.
Can't. Then it was in a far end zone from us, and we were doing a broadcast from the end zone. So we couldn't even see what the hell was going on.
So, as a player, even if they were yelling anything, can you hear them when you're on the field?
Sure.
From that distance, though?
Yeah. Yeah. If somebody's screaming crazy,
Okay. All right.
They would have been able to hear him. It was pretty quiet when the Eagles were on offense in that place.
It was neat.
What else?
Because
what
then
was the other
Patriots
thing?
Had
Paul,
the ball, they played
let you go.
Rap music.
All right, you guys are the best show on radio. And like three times this year, I tried to get the radio in the living room on, shut off the TV with Zoe's broadcast. Maybe next year, if there's some like simple way on here's how you do it with Sirius or whatever you have in the house, because I'm an idiot technically, and either a delay on NBC or impossible to find.
I will say this: you can pause a lot of different versions of the broadcast. I can pause mine on my little HD tuner that I have on a very cheap iPod. That's how I sync it up, and you got to do a little pausing of the DVR and a little pausing of your tuner, but you can do it that way. If you are listening somewhere else where you're picking up the broadcast on one of our media partners, as he just mentioned, you can pause their broadcast sometimes, but it requires a little bit of pausing on both ends. And once you have it synced up, don't touch it. Don't screw it up and back up your TV to watch a play again. You got to leave it alone, but it's worth it because you're going to get the superior call from Sosie and Zoe.
I would
believe that. I'm not just saying that because you're sitting here.
I believe it.
Here's all I got for you. we don't have a delay. TV does. That's why that's a problem with it. You gotta find a way to slow us down.
And a lot of people are trying to listen on the app, and you can't.
You gotta find a way to because we are not allowed.
You have to do it on an actual radio.
We're not allowed to put that on the app. If you have a problem with that, you gotta contact
the NFL app.
Why don't you call the league on that? Those are not our rules.
Yeah,
those are NFL rules. And those aren't even team rules. That's a league matter.
Different amounts of delay depending on where you're watching and what your cable provider is, and all kinds of stuff. So there's no one answer for it.
Hey Bert, we'll see you soon. Okay, man.
All right, guys.
I know you're busy. You got your head there in the computer. You're writing stories.
I'm
all good.
You're
reporting. You're trying to talk to everybody. Welcome to the off season.
I'll tell you this. I had a nice bottle of wine set to go last night. Emily was cooking dinner. And night one of the off season went out the freaking window.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Oh, poor baby.
Yes.
Poor baby.
Yeah.
Well, computer.
Tough days down there in the coal mine, Beetle. Tough days down there in the coal mine.
Very, very difficult times. So don't go anywhere. We've got today's takeaways, which are coming up next, and that includes some live play-by-play from Cedric Maxwell and reaction from the people of Indianapolis to the news that Josh McDaniels is staying put in New England.
They give.
Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes from the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Let's get to the takeaways here on Zolak and Bertrand.
Yes, sir. Today's takeaway is brought to you by our good friends at Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Four locations, Newton, Peabody, Quincy, and a new one now in Seekonk. Check them out at awaken180weightloss.com. What do we got today?
Hi.
We got a couple of items.
So there was some, I always wondered this, too, when I heard this play-by-play call.
I didn't hear this yet, but like what happened was...
Bob Soucy ever went to the bathroom and slipped and couldn't reach the door.
Right.
Like, and the door handle was really high and he couldn't get back before the break. Then I got to do the play-by-play.
Right.
I'm like, Brady's in the gun. He's got the who man to his right. Cross motion comes Cooks. And I got to do all that. This actually happened in a Celtic broadcast.
Yes, it did. Sean Granny didn't make it back from halftime in time.
Because security wouldn't let him through. He didn't have his pass.
He lost his press pass, and security did not know who he was. And so...
He's a hand model.
He had to allow Max to do the play-by-play for a short time last night. Haven't heard it yet. Excited to hear it. Here's what it sounded like right here on the Sports Hub.
Celtics have not done that. DeRozan has shot the lights out of the basketball. And then if you add in Kyle Lowry to that, it's only one more thing going. That really makes it misery comes to see company there.
Smooth.
Action almost about to resume. See if the Boston Celtics can get back in this thing. Entry right now to Kyrie Irving, dribbling the ball up court. I'm actually waiting for Sean Grandy to come back. Al Horford at the top. Ball kicked out of bounds here. Mm-hmm. 15 seconds on the shot clock. Tatum about to inbound the ball now. Coming in as Al Horford receives the ball coming into the paint.
We're going to have good talk about security at the ACC in a second. Horford misses a three and a rebound pulled down by Ananobi. 58-37. Celtics have two comebacks of more than 20 this year. Valanciunas' three is no good.
This is not the first time this has happened.
He was upset with security?
Well, they stopped him, and this happened to him like last year or the year before. And he complained about it. He was trying to get down to his seat, and they wouldn't let him.
Well, they put him in a weird...
Did he have the pass? I thought he lost the pass.
I don't know. I wasn't in Toronto.
Oh, if he had the pass and they didn't let him through, then that's an issue.
That's a problem.
They wouldn't let Zoe into the hotel, interview the coach, and stopped him 9 times.
I still got in.
So did Grandy. Did you get in as soon as you wanted to get in?
No.
Neither did Grandy.
Takes a little time.
State your name.
Takes a little
time.
Where
are you from? Scott Zolak. Team broadcaster.
All right, quickly, let's get to this report from Indianapolis.
What do you got?
This is on the news out there. They got the social media update from one of their reporters on what was being said about Josh McDaniels staying in New England.
Oh, my God.
Eric, thank you very much, sir. Looking forward to it. We'll see you a little bit later on. So when word got out earlier this evening regarding McDaniels, needless to say, the internet went crazy. Or Megan McEwen joining us now with more on how people are reacting on social media tonight, Megan.
Phil, the internet, I feel like it's going to break tonight, possibly. It's gone absolutely bonkers. Twitter, Facebook, any type of social media you can think of. Word is out. People are going insane. If you're in Indianapolis, this is the top trending thing going on right now. Josh McDaniels, as you can see, a lot of people weighing in and giving their opinion on what they believe. I've gone through, picked out maybe some of the top tweets. So you see our lovely Brooke Martin has tweeted out something regarding the matter. William Foote responded, if you needed another reason to hate the Patriots, well, you just got it. Gotta love the ongoing feud between the Colts and the Patriots. Kyle Clark says, congratulations to the Colts for getting through their Josh McDaniels phase a lot faster than the Broncos. Kind of funny, too. You saw a lot of humorous takes on the matter.
So bad.
And my personal favorite, look at this meme. Josh McDaniels, head coach, 7:59 a.m. to 4:34 p.m. It's a really short tenure in head coaching, if you're going to ask anybody.
Really short tenure. That's a picture of the banner making fun of the Colts.
Hey, real quick.
She had no idea.
Just got this information in from a family friend that that works with a guy that is one of Josh McDaniels' best friends.
Oh, boy.
They actually had a going-away party for Josh last night. This developed after 7 p.m. The entire family had flights scheduled for the next morning.
Did he get presents? Because he's got to give those back.
Every
single one.
No, can't say that.